Welcome everyone to our World Peace Diet Circle call on Thursday, June 16th, 2022. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and I'm very delighted to see all your bright and shining faces, and I know some of you are joining us by telephone, and some of you will be listening to the recording later. I think we're up to, this is the 157th meeting we've had. We started this way back in 2011. And so it's been going on for quite a while, and it's been very enjoyable. The years go by, and everything keeps changing, but some things don't change enough, especially our routine oppression of animals. So we're meeting in order to help develop our capacities to be more effective in our advocacy and to thrive more fully, completely, and joyfully as vegans in a not-yet-vegan world, which is a huge challenge, especially nowadays. It's there's so many different layers of oppression of animals and of human beings that are being rolled out, so we're really challenged, I think, especially today, more than ever, to be able to share this message and to be able to keep our freedom and keep our sanity in the face of all these challenges that we're facing. But the animals, of course, our hearts go out to them because the kind of abuse that they're routinely receiving is really incomprehensibly much worse than anything we're experiencing, obviously. And it's completely unnecessary. So thank you for being vegans and for your caring hearts and for questioning the official narratives in our society that create domination, exploitation, and oppression of nature and animals and of each other. And so I'd like to go ahead and get started with our call. People are just joining us, so welcome. And the usual way we begin our meetings on the third Thursday of the month, which is the main World Peace Diet Mastery and Facilitator Training call that we have, where we can share ideas with each other and share any questions you may have about anything that's related. And then we have the first Thursday calls, which are more meditation. But these usually run around 75 to 90 minutes. And so you're encouraged to ask questions or respond to anything I'm saying if you'd like by raising your hand. You can press *6 on your computer or on your phone, and that will unmute you so you can speak. And usually at the beginning we have a meditation. So I'd like to kind of start with that, a shorter meditation on this call. And then we'll jump right in. I don't have any special guests today. It's just us. So we can dive into whatever is of interest that you would like to talk about. All right, so feel free during this time of meditation to turn your attention within, however you'd like to do that, with your screens and so forth. And we'll begin. I'm sitting at the piano again here at our home in Northern California. So grateful for this great piano that we have. And so here we go. We'll begin our meditation time, and then we'll open it up. All right, so let's just become aware of our breathing. As we join together now in consciousness, we open to the light that is always shining in our heart, in our mind, in every cell of our being. We open our minds to the truth that what we are is a manifestation of the infinite love and awareness that is the source of all life here on this beautiful earth. With every exhalation, we let go of any thoughts of the past or the future, of anything, and just abide in our true home, which is this present moment. We are always at home in this moment. There actually is no past or future, except in our thinking. So we allow ourselves to let go of thinking, just being in this moment. There's nothing to attain, nothing to fear, nothing to aspire to or to reject. We can savor this moment of being, and we open now to the light of wisdom that is shining in our heart. We invite this light of wisdom into our daily consciousness to shine greater awareness into all of our activities, into all of our relationships, to bring peace and harmony, abundance, understanding, joy and freedom, creativity, truth. Honesty, authenticity, into our actions and thoughts and words, compassion, loving kindness and respect, opening our eyes and our ears, all of our senses to the sacred. That dwells within every manifestation of life. Letting go of the armoring. Resensitizing ourselves. To all of the impulses. The consciousness of all beings, opening our hearts to hear and to listen to our inner wisdom, to listen to the cries of the world, aware of the suffering that is present, opening our heart of compassion, allowing ourselves to feel and inhale the suffering, transmuting it in our heart. And radiating it back out into the world as peace and joy. We allow our mind and heart to be a vehicle to transform the suffering of the world. through our awareness. We are witnessing, and we are radiating loving kindness and compassion, joy and peace. Allowing the infinite eternal consciousness of harmony to flow forth in every breath. As a blessing to all expressions of life, may all of the animals who are suffering or imprisoned be aware at the deepest levels that they are loved. That what they are and what we all are is fundamentally free of the suffering and delusion of the outer world. Send our love and compassion to all of the human beings also who may be in pain and suffering, in fear, who are making the transition that human beings call death. May all beings be happy. May all beings be free. May all beings be at peace. May we all realize the truth that what we are was never born and will never die. Every day that we live as we go forth from our time together here this evening be a day where we awaken more fully to the truth that we are, where we make progress in our unfolding wisdom and understanding, where we develop spiritually our ability to be skillful in all of our relations, in blessing others, helping them to heal and to awaken to the truth that they are and that is within all of us. So right now we just see that each one of us is connected with each other in a circle, that this circle of our consciousness and our awareness and intentionality to bring joy and freedom and healing connects us with every human being on this earth who shares these aspirations. We see this great interconnected web of awareness connecting connecting us with every living being, with the source of all life, with the great wisdom teachers who have gone before and who are yet to come, bringing every thought and word and deed into ever greater alignment with the truth that is always shining within us, increasing our effectiveness, our abundance, our ability to be agents of healing, we give thanks knowing that we are part of the awakening of humanity at this critical time. That there is only one power, ultimately, the power of the infinite love that is the source of this universe and all life. So may we continue working together to build a more enlightened society, a world that cares for all living beings and that respects the sovereignty of individuals. World of peace and harmony. And we see the whole earth now bathed in the light of peace, radiant, and the truth that is ever present. We give thanks knowing this is so, and so it is. Thank you, everyone, for joining together in our meditation time. It's good to see you and to know you're here with us. And so I'd like to go ahead now and, I guess, first of all, just see if there's anyone that has a pressing question that you'd like me to address or you'd like our group to be aware of. And if anything comes up while we're going along here, I'm happy to just press star 6. You can raise your hand. I think on Zoom you go down to the, reactions. Click there and you can raise your hand. Or you can press star 6 and unmute yourself and just start talking. There's plenty to talk about here if we don't have anybody jumping in right at the beginning, because a month has gone by, and as always, since the last month, there's been a huge number of unfoldments. And every month, as you know, I do the resources, which I hope you have a chance to look at. I know it's kind of like drinking from a fire hose when you see this huge list of articles and links and so forth. And some of it is more specifically about things that I'm doing and Madeline and I are doing, like new videos and audios and things that we have up online. Some of it is some things that you have, you folks, that those of you who are in our circle that have done, like Angel, her book launch is going on in Maui. I do want to draw your attention to the new article I wrote called Circles of Slavery and Liberation, if you have a chance to read that. Also the interview with Marlene, our World Peace Time facilitator, who has been with us many times, and she has a radio program, Vegan Nation, every week in Massachusetts. We did a two-part series, World Peace Diet and Preventing Nuclear War and Transhumanism. That was That was provocative, I guess you'd say. And it's amazing because her radio program is just on like mainstream radio. People driving to work, you know, they're listening to this reading the Riot Act about animal agriculture and how it's destroying our freedom and allowing the takeover in many ways, not only of what's happening to animals, but really what's happening to us. This whole idea of transhumanism is another thing we haven't talked about too much, but of course it starts with animal agriculture and seeing them as mere material objects that can be genetically engineered in order to be more tasty or to be less frustrated when they're hyper-confined and so forth. So it's just engineering them genetically and in various ways to change them at a basic level because they're here to be used as objects. And we see, of course, this happening. I think, unfortunately, the same thing's happening. I've been calling it the factory farming of humans. Whatever we do to animals, sooner or later we start doing it to each other. And so factory farming and farming animals over all these years, it's created a lot of cause and effects that are very similar, which we can go into more in depth. I'm actually working on a new book that is going to go into this more in depth. I don't know the title yet, so I can't say. But we gave a lecture in Taiwan. That was really cool. In Taiwan, there's a group called the Bliss and Wisdom group or movement. It's big. I mean, there's probably a million people in that group. And they are really promoting veganism. And so they asked me if I could give a presentation on holistic health through vegan living. And it was really great. You know, I did a presentation, I did a recording and then did a presentation. And they have a Zoom channel and they had 1,000 people on it and it was completely, you know, sold out. So then they opened it up on Facebook and they had 10,000 people on Facebook. I mean, like amazing. So, it went very well and was well received, and it's very inspiring. I have to say that some of these Taiwanese groups, they really get the vegan word out on such a massive scale. It's great to see. So I'm glad to be able to work with them. That's one group. There's three main groups in Taiwan, and I work with all three of them, two especially. But anyway, we have that, and then there's all kinds of news, and I mean, we can go into some, if there's anything anybody specifically wants to talk about. There was one thing I promised somebody that I would talk about, one of our participants, and that has to do with health. So I'll go ahead and just talk about this health aspect, and that is basically what she wanted to know specifically was about dental health, about the health of your teeth, and how to have healthy teeth and gums. And so I said, all right, well, we can talk about that, and if you guys have any ideas, because this is very important, I think, actually. That, you know, the health in general is very important, and one of the things that you've heard me say before probably is that, you know, I think veganism is a way of living that's based not so much on just only caring about my personal health, but caring about the health of chickens, cows and pigs and hungry people and slaughterhouse workers and future generations and ecosystems, you know, the whole web of life and of all beings that are affected by us. But with that being said, being healthy is one of the most compassionate things we can ever do, right? I mean, to take responsibility for our health, to not be sick, to not give away our power and go to drugstores and doctors and get treatments that have always been tested on animals that are usually toxic chemicals that always are harmful in the long run. I'm a real believer in spiritual healing and us taking responsibility for our health and questioning everything that is to question with the medical establishment, because from my point of view, it's really gotten badly corrupted ever since, especially since 1910, when Rockefeller basically took it over with the Flexner Report and got rid of and destroyed the homeopathic and natural and herbal schools of health, and say you have the only kind of health that's now recognized is science-based. Science-based meaning is petrochemicals. That's it. And the germ theory, we're always being attacked by these malevolent, invisible, terrible little microbes that are out to kill us. And we have to be in a continuous war with nature, war with animals, a war with microbes, a war with everything. And of course, that war is very profitable. I mean, they make their worst nightmares, people like me who never use their products and refuse to participate in that whole system. So I would just say, it's really great to take responsibility for our health and not need any medical interventions of any kind. Just don't need them. So I remember when I was years ago, I was only maybe in my early 30s, it was back in 1990, and I went on a walk called the Global Walk for a Livable World, which was people walking from Los Angeles to New York City across the whole country. It was about 100 of us. For the environment, to raise awareness about the environment. We would stop along the way every day, and we'd give lectures in schools and community centers and churches and tell people they should go vegan and recycle and not buy junk foods and products and, you know, just take care of the environment, you know. And so it was quite an ordeal to get all, you know, everybody walk. We walked the whole way, but we had some vehicles that helped us. And it was an educational thing, but one of the things we talked about, I remember back then, was recycling, right? You got to make sure you recycle. Recycle everything. Use recycled things. But something we also talked about, which we said was much better than recycling, is pre-cycling. Right? Pre-cycling. You know what pre-cycling is? Pre-cycling is, don't buy it in the first place. Just don't buy it. Right? I mean, if you're going to buy something, it's best to buy something that's recycled. But even better is just don't even buy it. You know, try to just do without it, right, if possible. So that's called pre-cycling. It's just don't even go there. Don't even, just basically minimalism. Try to reduce consumerism, reduce the consumption. And so it's the same thing, right? So pre-cycling in terms of medical is take care of ourselves so that we don't need now to, we don't get any, you know, so that we're now sick with something, so-called sick. And one of the things you've heard me say is also that disease or sickness is not disease or sickness. It's simply our body doing a wonderful thing, which is cleansing. Our body's cleansing. We're getting a rash or a sore throat or runny nose or diarrhea or constipation or throwing up or a headache or whatever it is. That's all the body cleansing. And that's good. We should cleanse. We should cooperate with it. We shouldn't suppress it. We shouldn't run out and buy some drugs or some kind of a thing to stop the symptoms and make us feel better, because we just drive the disease and the toxins deeper into our body, and we are living in a world of toxins, and that's the problem. You know, big pharma and big petrochemical companies, they make their money off of animal agriculture, giving 10,000 drugs and hormones to animals, and then people eating that stuff, and then spewing all this stuff into the water, the air, the food. We take it in, our bodies are constantly cleansing. Plus we have 5G and who knows what, EMF fields, plus we have chemtrails, plus we have fluoride in the water, and we can go on and on. There's no money in people who are not chronically sick, right? Chronically sick people give a lot of money to the pharmaceutical industry, which is a subset of the petrochemical industry, which is a subset of the petroleum industry. So Rockefeller makes his money, they make their money on sick people more than anything. So take responsibility for your health. Don't have a TV. I mean, you know, I always say the reason I haven't gone to a doctor in 50 years is because I haven't had a TV in 50 years. No, it's important to just don't ever let your mind be polluted by a television. God, I'm so glad I haven't watched TV in 50 years. And really have a practice. I've studied many different forms of spiritual healing. and Christian Science is one of them. There's Buddhist practices, many different forms, but they all have to do with creating a healthy attitude, being aware that it's that our mind is what creates disease for the most part, as well as outer toxins, but it's our mind very often, our relationships, stress, anxiety, and believing these lies that, well, when you get older, your body's going to fall apart. When you get older, you're going to lose your memory. When you get older, you're going to slow down, and you know all that. Don't. If you find yourself thinking that, cancel it. That's what I do. I mean, just say that's mass. We call that mass consciousness. And mass consciousness, if we believe something, it'll happen. You know, you believe something, even subconsciously, it happens. So with dental health, so basically the idea is, like with any, with health in general, prevention is always the best thing, right? Prevention. You know, people say, well, what would you do? You don't have health insurance. I haven't had health insurance, right, for like 60 years. So what would you do if you had a car accident? I don't go there. I don't think what would I do if I mean, that's victim thinking. We just don't even go there. I mean, that what if? No, we stay in the moment and live our life out of a sense of we have a mission, right? We have a mission on this earth, and we're being supported by that, by the forces of the universe around us, and we can help others. We can be a force of the universe helping. Support other people in their missions. So this is the beautiful thing, I think, it really is, that we can work with our mind and take responsibility for the quality of our thoughts and our consciousness, and that goes a long way towards creating health. When we're at Hippocrates Health Institute, that's one of the things, you know, Brian and Anna Maria Clement have worked with like 30,000 people who come there over the last 50 or 60 years, and it's a healing center. But he says, by far the most important thing, more important than nutrition, more important than exercise, it's attitude, attitude, attitude. So that's really critical. So I want to emphasize that. Just work with our mind and have mental habits of appreciation of our physical body and the health that we have, and be grateful that we have health, and we have it for a reason, right? We're healthy for a reason. Our body is our vehicle, so we're healthy so that we can think clearly, have plenty of energy, wake up in the morning, and because we want to help the animals, right? We want to help people. We want to help the earth. We have something to do here. We're only here for a few short decades. So for the short time we're here, we don't want to have a body that can't think clearly or is lying around unhealthy. That just really interferes with our capacities and our ability to fulfill our destiny here. So health is very important, and it's a way that we can support other people. We're not asking them to take care of us, right? It's we're helping, we're contributing everything. So in dental health, like with everything, the most important thing, number one, is attitude. Number two is whatever they tell you, it's wrong, pretty much. I mean, like if they tell you to use toothpaste and brush your teeth, I mean, whatever. I can't say it's totally wrong, but for the most part, the products that they're selling that are supposed to make your teeth better really are harmful and create more business for the dentist, right? They want business. They want lots of business. So for example, I haven't used toothpaste, I don't know, 30 years maybe. So I make my own little concoction, which is very simple. I'm not saying it's the best, but it's just baking soda and salt and peppermint oil and tea tree oil. Mix it all together. It's cheap. It doesn't cost anything. And you can use all you want and mix it up and yum, yum, yum. It's great. And it really works. I mean, baking soda, it's like maybe, I would say, 2/3 baking soda, 1/3 sea salt. And then you can buy this oil, special dental peppermint oil. It's little bottles. One bottle will last you a long time. Just drip some of that in there. And also rub it. Like rub that oil, it's really good. It's called Aura I should write it down. I was trying to remember what it's called. Aura MD is the company. O-R-A-M-D. I just wrote that down. That's the, if anybody's interested, I'm just writing it down in the chat. That's the, it's the oil. Madeline. Look at this. Yeah, Madeline even has a, she's helping me out here. This is what it looks like. It's a little bottle. Aura MD. It's basically, it's mainly peppermint oil, but also peppermint, spearmint, and almond oil mixed together. Put a few drops of that in your baking soda, and I put some tea tree oil in too because that's really good. But basically, it just freshens your mouth. It's really good to create a healthy environment. We rub it on our gums. The problem is with toothpaste. First of all, it has fluoride, which is terrible. I mean, you know, make sure you're not ingesting fluoride in any form, not in toothpaste, not in your water. If you have water with this fluoridated, you for sure should not drink it. I mean, get a fluoride filter that'll take the fluoride out, because fluoride is a terrible toxin, and it's routinely put into a lot of the drinking water in the United States, Australia, a lot of other places. They don't do it too much in Europe, but and fluoride is not easy to get out. You need a special filter or reverse osmosis or something, because fluoride, they found out that if you administer fluoride to prisoners and to people in internment camps, it just basically shuts down their will to be free. It just kind of reduces people's basic connection with their spiritual essence and with their power. It really disempowers people, and it also calcifies the pineal gland. And the pineal gland is really that's the third eye. It's behind the third eye, deep in the brain, but it's the gland that's connected with intuition, spiritual intuition. So if you want to dumb people down, shut off their intuition, you fluoridate the water, right? You want to have livestock that'll be easily controlled and manipulated, that will believe the official narratives, that'll get the drugs and eat the meat and dairy and eggs and not ask questions. You send them through a typical education where you dumb them down and tell them to obey the authorities, and you fluoridate their water. So even toothpaste has fluoride. And then the other thing that toothpaste has is sodium lauryl sulfate, which is the foaming agent that makes it foamy, and that attacks your gums. And there's an absolute epidemic of gum disease in the United States and the world. And it's because of all this, not only the terrible food, but the toothpaste, you know, the sodium lauryl sulfate in the toothpaste. So I would say that's, you know, just stay away from commercial types of toothpaste, and you make your own or buy something that's natural. That's only maybe some sea salt. They have some. Madeline has one that she gets from Europe, I think. Or go online and look at recipes. There's a company. Madeline, are you there? Can you bring out the stuff in the bathroom? The tooth powder and the toothbrush that we have. And then there's something else. Then the question is, okay, what kind of toothbrush to use? And we found, this is kind of new, actually. I've only been using it now for about 1 or 2 months, but I think it's really good, actually. It's we heard about it, you know, J.P. Sears. Yeah, if you know J.P. Sears. Anyway, he promoted it, and I thought, that actually looks pretty good. So it's... Give me this one first.
Yes.
So this is the toothbrush. It's called Primal Life. I'm not selling this, believe me, but actually it's pretty cool. It's actually wood. It's actually wooden with coconut fiber bristles. And it's great. I mean, I really like it. And it vibrates. I'll turn it on. And you can hear it. So it has different types of vibration, but it acts. What's it called when you go to the dentist and they clean your teeth with the high
ultrasound.
Ultrasound.
And this is the powder?
And they actually sell the powder. It's very similar to what I make. It's this powder. But you can. But anyway, if you want to spend money, you can buy, they call it Dirty Mouth Tooth Powder, but it's peppermint. But anyway, the, Primal Life. Yeah, so you can buy it. It's pretty much similar to what I make. And
this is good, too.
Oh, and then Madeline really, yeah, this is a great company, Perio.
Totally.
Perio Bright. Perio Bright makes a totally organic dental products that Madeline's been using for quite a while. And this is a cleanse. It's really, it's just, yeah.
Yeah, it's really
she uses
nice
it
for the gums.
Every day.
And then.
Oh, yeah. And then the other thing is the Irrigate. It's like a water pick, but it's made, it's a Tovin door. But anyway, water, instead of flossing, I mean, you can floss, but remember the floss. I mean, the floss is made out of toxic plastic chemicals that go into your mouth. It's everything is toxic. So if you buy from a company, if you buy it anywhere, I mean, it's so ridiculous. So these products, the Primal Life and the Perio Bright.
I have this.
And then, oh yeah. There's also EcoDent, which is a tooth powder. If you don't want to make your own, you can get EcoDent tooth powder. It's very similar. And so these tooth powders and that Primal Life toothbrush, it really gets the teeth amazingly clean. I mean, you can really feel it. It's like they say if you use that toothbrush, you'll never have to go to a dentist for a cleaning again, you know. And so because we do that, I do go to the dentist and have my teeth cleaned. And but, you know, the thing is, you know, I don't know how you all feel about it, but I don't agree with getting x-rays from dentists. And so, you know, like in Florida, they have an actual law that a dentist is not allowed to clean your teeth unless they give you x-rays, right? I mean, they actually have a law. And in California, it's pretty much the same thing. I mean, this entire county, there was only one dentist was willing to clean my teeth without giving me x-rays. And so I go to her and get my teeth cleaned, you know, from her. But I've been very, you know, when I was a kid, I had typical lots of cavities. My mouth was filled up with cavities. You know, I was didn't know any better or whatever. And all mercury. All was mercury. So when I was about, 35 or 40, I realized that having all that mercury in my mouth is not a good idea. So I had one quadrant after the other done. So I had, we were living in an RV, so I had to go, you know, in Texas or Florida, wherever I was. I went to a dentist and they replaced all the mercury. And so I think if you do have mercury in your mouth, make sure you go to somebody who's really good at it. But I think it's a good idea to get it out. And then as far as taking care of your teeth, of course, the most important thing, what I found out was when I went to a whole food organic vegan diet, which I did a long time ago, my dental health really was good, has been great. It's been great. I think what I found out, one of the things I found out was that dairy is the worst thing you can do for your teeth. One of the worst things you can do for your teeth. And it's just the opposite of what we're told. In fact, I remember talking to this guy who had studied this quite a bit. He said, if you take a tooth and you put it into Coca-Cola and you let it sit there for like 3 or 4 days, the tooth will still be there. If you take a tooth and you put it into a glass of milk for 3 or 4 days, it'll be gone. There won't be any tooth left at all. And this is actually well known. There's something called, for infants, if they fall asleep with baby formula that's based on dairy milk, which they all are, and they have that milk kind of like on their little baby teeth, their teeth will dissolve. It'll dissolve and destroy their teeth. So dairy will destroy your teeth. Absolutely. It's really the number one enemy of dental health. I mean, they say it's sugar. Sugar's is not good, but it's really the dairy. The bacteria in the dairy will just start eating everything. So anyway, so since I haven't had dairy for, you know, all these years, and eating good fibrous foods, I think is good. So your teeth have something to work on, and then I used to floss a lot, but I don't use floss anymore because really it's hard to get anything that's not toxic. All these flosses. So we use that irrigator instead. It does a pretty good job. Every once in a while, I'll floss if something's really stuck in between my teeth, you know. But and try to buy, you know, there are some flosses that are seem to be organic and pretty good. And then brush, you know, it's good to brush, I think, you know, at least once or, you know, once or twice a day, and you kind of keep your mouth clean. And we don't eat, usually after we eat fruits, especially like in the morning we have a smoothie, so that's a lot of fruit, fruit and vegetables, but there's some fruit. So it's good to not let that sit in your mouth, kind of, you know, irrigate and get that out, because we have friends who are fruitarians. And even though they're vegans and they're not eating any dairy, but their teeth very often really bad. The fruit kind of attacks your teeth if you let it sit there. So you gotta kind of be careful. Madeline,
yes.
What is it about fruit? You shouldn't rinse it right away.
The thing is,
it's a little bit of a fine point about fruit.
Fruit is good to use the irrigator, but not the brush. If you brush it, then it attacks the enamel. So first irrigate and then let an hour go by or so if you like to brush.
Right. So don't brush your teeth right after fruit.
Yeah.
Because the fruit kind of opens up the teeth and then it kind of dissolves the enamel. Mm-hmm. So just irrigate. I think irrigating is really cool.
Yeah,
I mean, you just wash it. It's very quick and easy, and it gets all this stuff away.
And it goes to places where the brush can.
Yeah, right. The irrigator really goes everywhere, in between the teeth and everywhere. So so those are important things. I've been very blessed. I've never had any, like, root canals or crowns or bridges or implants. I mean, nothing. I never have cavities. So my teeth are super good, strong, and everything. My gums are pretty good. The problem, another thing, I made a big mistake. All those years when I was younger, I had a hard bristle toothbrush. And I found out that the hard bristle, I pushed the gums back too much. So they're kind of receding. So make sure your brush has a soft bristle. Don't get a hard one. Brushing can ruin your gums if you have a hard bristle. I mean, there's so many of these things to be aware of. So be really careful with your dental hygiene, that what you're using is not damaging, because a lot of times it's damaging. And so those are a few things I've learned. I mean, Madeline had a problem when she was younger, so that her nutrition, she's had more tooth problems, and so I've learned a lot by, you know, helping her with her things. And we've learned a lot from Dennis, you know, just going through this process, because she needed quite a few things done. And I think it's good to just, you know, as much as you can, keep your teeth in your mouth. You know, what we know, you probably all know this already, but avoid root canals if at all possible, because when you kill a tooth and and you kill the nerve, I mean, it leads to all kinds of problems. And lately, I think it's kind of recent, in the last maybe 10 years, there's this whole new understanding that mouth health, you know, oral health, is really connected to your entire body, especially the heart. And they found that when people have bad problems in their mouth, it really affects everything. It's not just here, it's your entire body is affected. So it's a very important, actually, dental health is really important. Much more important than people, you know, used to think. And they found that strokes and heart disease and a lot of that is actually caused by root canals and bacteria that are in the teeth that then travel in some way and do things. So it's really good to be careful of what you're doing, and avoid x-rays, because there's studies that are done that definitely link dental mouth x-rays and brain cancer. I mean, it's definitely linked. Absolutely 100% linked. So if dentists say to you, you know, when you take a plane, ride in an airplane, you get more radiation than you do with one of these x-rays, you know, it's not true. I mean, it really adds to the risk of brain cancer. And brain cancer is a big problem right now. There's a lot of people with brain cancer. So try to avoid dental x-rays. But if you really need them, of course you need them, you know, but to try to not just get them without really needing it, I guess. So does anyone have any questions about that? I think, I don't know if I've covered everything. There's lots of more we could probably talk about, but that's some of the main points. Let's see. Kenny, do you have something? Yeah, go ahead. You can unmute. Wait. For some reason, I can't unmute you.
Wait, I got it. Can you hear me? Oh, yeah. This is my son, Jonathan.
Perfect. Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, so thanks, Will. Just a couple of questions or things I want to... I've been water picking, and I went to Santa Rosa Junior College, and they said water picking is more effective than flossing. And I find it feels good, but now I'm thinking, you know, maybe I should use... And I only drink, like, I buy bottled water. I buy Whole Foods spring water in glass bottles. I mean, because it's spring water. I think water is very important. But maybe I should put that in the water pick instead of using the faucet water, huh? What do you think?
Oh, for the water pick? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, that's a thought. If the water's fluoridated, the faucet water is probably fluoridated. If you're getting city water in Santa Rosa, it's fluoridated.
Yeah. All right. So maybe I'll start doing that more. But and then the other thing is, I don't know. If you could send out with that stuff, I didn't write it down, write it down, what you recommend. But I wonder if you know anything about it. I've been using this toothpaste. It's called Walita. It's from Germany. It's been around 100 years, and it's not commercial.
Good. That's pronounced Valeda.
Valeda.
Valeda,
okay.
Is basically it's the anthroposophist. It's Madeline's love. She's an anthroposophist, and it's good. I mean, it's organic. It's usually pretty good stuff. Valeda, yes.
But yours is, you think yours, your formula is probably better, right? Or about the same? I don't know. Cheaper.
I think so. We don't use that product, so I'm not sure. But normally their stuff's pretty good.
Can you tell us again, or maybe I'll just write down, I didn't write it down what you were saying about, you know, what you use on your teeth.
Baking soda, which is, you know, just baking soda, mm-hmm. 2/3 baking soda, 1/3 sea salt, and then some oil. It's the peppermint oil. We get it from a company called Ora, O-R-A-M-D. If you just Google Ora M-D, O-R-A-M-D, you'll come right
up. O-R-A-M-D?
Yeah. And they have their peppermint oil, or it's toothbrush oil, whatever it is. We buy a few of those, and that lasts us.
Yeah. So peppermint oil, baking soda, and there were one or two other things you mentioned. That
salt, and then I usually put a little tea tree oil in too, but
tea tree.
Yeah,
and I like tea tree oil.
Right.
I mean, I like Dr. Bronner's products too, not for my teeth so much, but I mean, it may be good for my teeth too. I love that they talk about vegan.
People use Dr. Bronner's for everything. Brush
my clothes,
whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a spiritual and it's organic, and I think they promote veganism on some of their packaging. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for.
Okay.
Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. Good. Andy, did you have your hand up or anything or?
Okay. Wow. I got lost. I'm taking notes like crazy. So just quickly that what was that called? That irrigation thing or water pick? What is that? Because I'm thinking I need to switch also. So if you have something stuck in your teeth, there's a water pick or something, and are they electric or battery?
It's basically battery powered. We use the one. It's an irrigator. You can buy them online. There's different ones. They're all, I think, pretty good. You know, we've tried a couple different kinds. Water pick is a type I've never used, but they're similar to that. And it shoots a very fine spray of water, and you can adjust it how hard it is and so forth, and it just kind of washes out in a nonviolent way, and really does a good job. You can, you know, just kind of go around and
but you still brush your teeth also.
Yeah, but what we do now is I'm only brushing in the evening. I used to brush more, but ultrasonic does such a good job. It feels like it's enough, but we do use the irrigator after every meal, which is, you know, we usually eat something 3 times a day, so something in the morning.
Okay, so you do the irrigator after every meal, and what ultrasonic? What's that?
That's the toothbrush, that Primal Life toothbrush.
Oh, okay.
It's a battery-powered thing, also.
Oh. Okay, but then what do you call it, the water pick or water irrigator? What is that? Is there like a brand name or something you recommend? Or
I'll write it down. I forget. We have one that has a brand, but I forget what it is. Yeah, I can say it's it's a pretty good one, the one we got. And the nice thing is, like, we can use it. We use it in our little tiny van. You know, you can just charge it up, and you know, you can take. It's very
portable. Like USB charger or something.
Yeah, USB charger. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
no,
everything's
that's
USB charge.
Okay. All right. That sounds fabulous. I feel like I had another question, but related to that, thank you so much for all of this. This is amazing. One more question. So, in general, I know you pretty much hate standard medicine. I do too. Why do you go for the dental clinic? And do you have any concerns about whatever dentists are using on your mouth there, the standard stuff?
Yeah. You know, as far as the cleanings, I never had cleanings done. And then when I was living in Oakland, I used to go to Hayward College, and they have a dental program for these young girls who would, you go in and get a free cleaning. They practice on you, you know.
Santa Rosa Junior College does that too.
Junior College, right? Yeah, the
Santa Rosa. Yeah.
Right. So I did that, and it seemed to be good. But then I went on the road. I never did any cleaning for a long time. But then Madeline started having her problems, and then I thought, and we were going to dentists all the time for that. And then I started thinking, yeah, maybe I should have my teeth clean now and then. So we do. I think it just seems to be a good idea. It kind of gets the plaque off well, and it just seemed like a good thing. They were nice. They just kind of go in and they pick and they get everything and then they, you know, clean. But I'm thinking maybe with this new Primalife toothbrush, which seems to really clean a lot better than a typical toothbrush, that maybe I don't have to go anymore for cleanings. That's kind of what I'm hoping.
Can I ask how often you were going about for cleaning?
About once a year, sometimes twice a year. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I sort of stopped going just my fear of, you know, that type of place, you know, unless, you know, I have something that needs something, I would go in. But, and then now I'd have to find somebody that doesn't believe in a mask or any of that stuff also. So thank you so much for all this. This is amazing. Okay.
All right, yeah. Yeah, okay. It's good. I mean, it's good to take good care of our teeth. I think that's really important.
Yeah.
And just be kind of aware. Good food is really important, and then these other things. And be careful of the dental products. That's really important, I think. A lot of them
Thank you so much.
More harm than good. Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks. Oh, and does anybody else have any questions about this or comments about the dental health? I'm sure there's things I'm not thinking of, but those are the main points. Because Andy, you had something you wanted to ask about, and it's kind of related to this, so we can do that now too.
Oh, okay. So yeah, so I didn't know if other people had. Okay, so I wound up, I made a decision. So the question that I brought up to you before was, I had a little injury, a weird kind of injury, a couple nights ago. And I wanted to go to a physical therapist who I've been to before and love, but, you know, I pay for him separately and I didn't have to wear a mask. And people that I know within the Freedom community have been going to standard medicine, doing all the masks. And I knew I didn't want to do that. I do have Medicare. And I thought, and this physical therapist says they take Medicare. And I thought, well, do I want to, you know, get it for free instead of spending, you know, all this money, my own money? And just what I had to go through and the stress involved of doing this online form and the kinds of questions they were asking me, like, you know, have you been around anyone with COVID? You know, have you had your test? Have you had your vaccine? You know, what are all your COVID symptoms? I mean, it seems like everything's turned into COVID and they don't really care about anything else going on. And I was so traumatized by the whole questions, and I had set up an appointment and I was going to do it. And then a friend wound up bringing up a very good point, you know, 'cause here I was trying to save money, and then I didn't want to sign the thing because everything that I had to sign was like giving my life away. And you can't even sign it for this video call online with no, I don't agree with, and then putting your name. You can only click on your name. They don't even give you any personal options to write in anything. Right. So I wound up canceling the video call, and then I thought, you know, I just have to pay myself for whatever I go to. But the thing my friend brought up, because I was looking to save money, she said that's how they, the standard medical, what they do is they bait you with the free stuff. And, you know, just hearing that, and I'm like, that's it. It's like I just, my insides were being pulled apart at just going through the whole form and what they were asking me. And as soon as I canceled the appointment and I did not sign that form, I just felt so much better. But so that's what I was wondering is, what are other people doing? If they have a little injury or if they have something, are they using, you know, standard medicine? Are they signing these forms for video calls? Because I won't wear a mask. I won't do any of that. I won't take a test. Of course, I won't take the shot. So, you know, I felt good after I said, no, I'm not, you know, connecting with you guys. And I'm curious what other people feel on that. Too.
Right. Yeah, well, that's good. That's something I think it's good to be aware of. There's, as we get a little older and we're eligible for Medicare, what do we do? Do we use it? I haven't paid into it, so I don't really have it. I mean, I have plan A, but not plan B. So I don't, so because I could, they really pressured me to pay into it. But I thought, you know, I don't, if I pay into it, then I'm going to, it's like baiting, like you say, baiting. It's like, well, I paid into it, now I want to use it, you know? And then if you want to use it, then they say, okay, you can use it, but you got to use it on our terms.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I went through that when I was getting my PhD at Berkeley. It was kind of like the same thing. It's like, we'll give you your PhD, but only if you think the way we do, you know? You got to pay the price. You got to be like us. And I was constantly battling. So I really developed the ability to kind of defend myself, you know, and to fight back and to not, you know, to maintain my own somehow mental integrity and not be, you know, too damaged by it. Because these things can be very damaging. So I think it's very important to just be aware of this, that there's lots and lots of subtle and not so subtle ways that the pharmaceutical cartel is using to get our information and to get us sort of into the system as a entity, as a profit entity or as a slave entity. And I think personally, the more we just stay out of it, the better. I mean, personally, you know, everybody's free to do what they want, but you know, if we're not careful, I mean, if we just go along with the program, we'll be sucked right in, because almost everything you want to do, that's why so many people get vaccinated. I mean, every single person I knew who got vaccinated, virtually nobody did it because they really wanted to get vaccinated. They did it because, well, my parents are afraid that they won't let me visit, or my daughter won't let me touch her kids, or my job, I have to do it for that. They all did it for some convenient kind of a thing, but for other people. And now more and more, you know, it's people unfortunately are suffering the consequences of that. And so it's really important, I think, to just realize that we are, unfortunately, realistically, we're in a war. And it's being propelled really by the bankers mainly, but they're using the pharmaceutical industry. That's the whole thing. Is, you know, the disease, it's not really about the disease. It's about getting us to the point where everybody has to have an ID, a digital ID, and then they can shut off our money, and they can control us financially, and they can make us do whatever we want to do. Because if you don't get in, then you can't buy food, you can't buy clothes, you can't buy gas, you can't do this, you can't do that. And so the more we resist and don't comply with anything, then I think that's great. You know, that's what we can do. If everyone refused to comply, they couldn't do any of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, you know, if the cows refused, you know, then they couldn't do it. But if they turn around and trample all these humans, you know, many cows and only a few humans, they could trample them all and be free. But they don't know that. You know, so it's kind of the same thing. We have to, you know, like Robert F. Kennedy says, you can never comply your way out of tyranny. So we have to draw the line somewhere. And it's, to me, it's kind of sad to see so many people who really care about freedom eating animals, eating animal foods, eating meat, dairy, and eggs, and then, or putting, you know, like you say, going to the doctor for this, that, and the other. I mean, be careful. I mean, people are going into hospitals now, and I always say that the most dangerous place in the world, you know, right after Northern Australia, where they have the crocodile swamps, is a hospital, right? you could easily lose your life going in there. I mean, very easily you could not come out alive. And there's so many cases of that happening now. I mean, really, I mean, especially with COVID, there's so many articles I've been reading of people who went in to the hospital and then they went in for something totally different. But then the hospital is paid to do a COVID test. I mean, they're paid. They have to do it. So they do a COVID test. Then they get paid if it's a positive test. And, of course, the PCR test, I mean, it just gives positives. It gives false positives. The higher you set the setting, the more likely you'll get false positives. So then they get to go into the COVID unit. And the hospital gets money for that. And then they push to try to get the person on a ventilator because they get $39,000 if you put a person on a ventilator. And so once you get on a ventilator, it's like, basically a 95% chance you're going to die either right there in the hospital or within a few months because it's so destructive to your health. And then they get a special, $18,000 for every COVID death. So they're really being financially rewarded for the more deaths they can cause. I mean, you know, not to think that the doctors want to do that, but they're basically forced to comply. If any doctor questions anything, they lose their license. I mean, and the hospital administrators, they're actually much more cold-hearted about it because they're just in it for the money for the most part. So this has been happening a lot. I mean, I just listened to this whole story of this poor woman in Ohio where this happened. And it's just happening a lot, you know. So there was this – I just read today about this congressman from Illinois, whose daughter, 17, you maybe heard about it, his 17-year-old daughter, died in her sleep. And so he put out a posting and saying, you know, we send our memories and to my beautiful daughter. She cared so much about gay and lesbian people, and she cared about the environment. She was going to go next year and have an environmental degree at the University of Vermont. She played the trumpet, all these things. And we learned two lessons from this whole thing. One lesson we learned was to always value the people that you're with. And the other lesson we learned was you never know when you might lose someone. You know, those are the two lessons he said he learned. But then immediately the girl's Twitter account was taken down. But somebody found some of her posts, and one of her most prominent posts was, "I'm so glad that I took both vaccines and have got my booster, and I really wish that people would stop spreading misinformation that these are dangerous." And then her father also had posted earlier, "I'm so happy to say that all my entire family, including both of my young daughters, have been vaccinated." Right? They're all proud of the fact. But now he won't say what we learned was, you know, you can die at any time. We don't know why it happened. It just happened. And now we have this sudden infant death syndrome, sudden adult death syndrome, right? That's the newest thing. Sudden adult death syndrome. People are just dying. Like, we don't know why. They're just dying. We're not going to check why. They just die. It's just sudden adult death syndrome. And so it's so blatant. It's so obvious. I can't believe, and yet I'm still getting letters. Like I just got a letter from the Unity Church in Marin County here saying, "Well, the COVID is increasing, and so you cannot attend this church unless you're wearing a mask, unless you've been vaccinated and have your boosters." I mean, the churches are telling everybody that you can't come unless you've been vaccinated and boosted and wear a mask on top of it. And you know, I just think, how can people be so incredibly gullible and just, you know, but I'm writing about it. I'm aware of it. There's this whole thing with animal agriculture. What animal agriculture does is it forces us to commit violence on a massive scale against other beings, right? We steal their purposes. We torture and mutilate them. We eat that suffering. We eat the shame of all of that. And so we basically are dominating. And what that does is it creates what's called the authoritarian personality. The authoritarian personality craves to dominate, but also craves to be dominated. And so at the same time, which is what creates hierarchies. And so you look at every institution in our society, they're all hierarchical. You go to the schools, it's all hierarchical. You go to the military, the government, everything is hierarchical. There's somebody above you, there's somebody below you. Always. The animals are at the bottom. And you have, you know, a few people at the top, and it's these pyramids of power. But what that does is it makes people crave not only to dominate, but to be dominated. And in a deep level, subconsciously, they crave to give up their sovereignty, to give up their freedom, to just do whatever I'll just do whatever I'm told. I do what the authorities say. I mean, we're taught this. We're rewarded for this at school. We're rewarded for this all along. So it's not so much that people are, people are gullible, but it's even more sinister. It's like they've been programmed by animal agriculture to crave to be dominated and to just do, and vegans even, a lot of vegans are like this. They're like, oh, of course I'm vaccinated. You're dangerous if you question any of the authorities. Whereas a few years ago, they were, you know, questioning Big Pharma and questioning the CIA and questioning the government. No, no, not anymore. We have to do what we're told. How is that possible? You know, I'm just amazed at that people see this. And we lose our freedoms. I mean, the basic freedoms that we need in order to assemble and speak and save animals. And so this is really what's rolling out right now. And so it's very important, I think, for us to understand these dynamics, the psychological, the social dynamics of the way this thing works. And like you say, Andy, when you have these free things that are given out, you know, the shots are free, and if you do it, then you can have your job, and you can have all these benefits. You can travel. Like, we haven't been able to travel, you know, fly. We just drive around. We can't fly because we won't wear a mask. I'm not going to wear a mask. So we have to give up certain freedoms, but I think that's better than complying, personally. Because if we otherwise, where does it end? You know, that's the question, I think. So
I agree. Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. Thanks. Yeah, thanks. That's a great question. Anyone else? It looks like Jennifer, you have your hand up. Would you like to? Yeah.
Hi. Thank you so much. I'm new to your World Peace Diet Mastery Program.
Welcome.
Really enjoying it. I'm on Module 3.
Great.
So this is my first Zoom call with y'all. So, but I just wanted to mention, first of all, I agree 100% with everything you just said. But I had another question. So with this whole medical health freedom thing, I've been really involved in all of that. And I've been watching or listening to Health Freedom for Humanity podcast. I'm not sure if y'all are familiar with them. But overall, I've been really liking what I've been hearing. But I was very disturbed with what I heard two podcasts back. They interviewed a naturopath from Canada named Amanda Vollmer. Maybe you're familiar with her. And she was talking about germ theory or something, but she was giving her background, and she told everybody that she used to be a staunch vegan. She wouldn't, you know, use leather and everything, but she changed to eating meat again once she became pregnant because she felt that she needed meat. She needed concentrated fuel, she said. And this was the part that I really, really wanted you to comment on, Will. She basically said she believes also that due to our rampant long-term gut biome issues and people in general, that we cannot process plant food proteins properly, and thus we need an animal that ruminates the plant particles for us so that we can digest them properly. And I just thought this can't, I can't believe she's saying that. And she's a naturopath, you know, a representative of more alternative medicine. And so I just, yeah, she said, with animal protein, we've got an animal ruminating our vegetables on our behalf.
All right. So, you know, I have to say that some of the most absolutely benighted and really, quite honestly, idiotic things come out of the mouths of naturopaths. I mean, I always thought naturopaths, oh, good, naturopaths, that's so much better than an MD. But really, naturopaths are the main ones driving this whole eat right for your blood type thing. That's all naturopaths. They think that, oh, type O, you need to eat meat, and type A and type B, you know, it's complete, total hogwash. You know, there's no truth at all to any of that, but they act like they've discovered this thing. And, of course, most people are type O, and, of course, they need to eat meat. And it's the same thing. I mean, you know, she's right, I think, in the sense that glyphosate is rampant now, and that's the main factor that's used in GMO agriculture, and so they spray Roundup. It's the main ingredient in Roundup, and it's a broad spectrum antibiotic. It's also carcinogenic. It says it's devastating. I mean, it harms your nervous system, reproductive, everything. But it's a broad spectrum antibiotic, so it directly attacks the microflora in your gut. In a human being. And so that's one of the reasons that there's so many digestive issues nowadays, and leaky gut syndrome is a really big problem. But the thing is, instead of eating meat or dairy or eggs or whatever she's saying, there's a solution, which is to eat organic plant-based foods that don't have glyphosate, right? I mean, if we're eating organically grown plant-based foods that are not sprayed with glyphosate, then our microbiome is naturally going to try to rebuild, right? It's going to rebuild. And I would recommend, you know, helping that with vegan yogurt, maybe kombucha, or things that, you know, that have beneficial bacteria in them to help repopulate the microbiome. But, you know, the pharmaceutical industry and the chemical industry are both on a war against bacteria, and bacteria in the soil, which is killed by all the chemicals, herbicides, fungicides, and pesticides, and so forth, that basically destroys the microbiome in the soil. And it also, then we eat those foods, and it destroys the microbiome in our gut. So the alternative is not to torture animals, obviously. I mean, that's terrible that she said that. It really bothers me, because that will influence people. It's bad karma on her part to do that. But anyway, because we can eat plant-based foods that are organic. The best thing is if you can grow them yourself. we have now 70 fruit and nut trees here, and lots of, you know, so we eat a lot of food that we come right from our land, and we know it's not only organic, but it's veganic. Or get to know some of your, if you can, like we have a farmer's market here in the area, and we know some of the farmers, and they're organic, and they're actually, some of them are veganic. So we can buy from them. You know, so try to like create networks where you can get healthy food. But your microbiome will repopulate. It'll get strong. It'll get better if you're eating good food. I mean, every time we breathe and drink and so forth, the body's always trying to establish a healthy microbiome. That's the basic wisdom of our body and the bacteria themselves. And so it's important to eat plenty of starchy foods. The bacteria, the microbiome really thrives on fiber and starchy foods. It's a good idea. A lot of people are vegans, but they're junk food vegans, right? They're eating foods from factories that have preservatives that are not organic. And so I don't know what kind of a vegan she was, but if she was that kind of a vegan, which most vegans are, she could have a bad microbiome. And then, of course, she feels so much better when she starts eating meat. You know, that's the worst thing. It's like a placebo effect. I discussed that in the World Peace Diet, the placebo effect, and how strong it is when it's something, you know, when you're ethically a vegan and you eat meat, it's like your mind starts kicking in saying, I better feel a lot better since I'm making this sacrifice. And so there's a whole many levels of effects that are happening that happened to her and that make her think the way she thinks. And of course now she can say, oh, I tried being a vegan, it didn't work, and everybody loves to hear that. Now she's part of the society again. She can go and eat with everybody. She doesn't have to be with that pesky vegan anymore. I mean, there's infinite, you know, benefits in a way of being one of those people that was a former vegan and didn't work. I mean, it's tragic, really, but hopefully she'll...
Will, how can you take it? How do you take it after 40 years of being a vegan? Guess who this is. I'm listening to this and I'm cringing. And I get so angry when I hear, benighted is a good word for this woman. It's actually not strong enough. She wants to make a name for herself. She discovered something here that is going to help her to stand out. But I know we're almost at the end here.
Right.
But I wanted to say there's some good news because you're talking about protein and you're talking about all that. I'm not on the internet. I don't use a television. I haven't used one in 25 years. I'm not on the internet. But I do use the radio. And that we have very few radio programs, but we have a great great station here, and it's local. But I happened to tune in and suddenly I couldn't believe what I was hearing, and it was good. It was a very, very devout Christian woman of the Adventist variety talking about nutrition, and she's a doctor, and she went on and on about how we don't need a lot of protein if the problem is too much protein.
Right.
And McDougal said that, you know, years ago I read that, but it was so nice hearing a mainstream, well, they're not totally mainstream Seventh-day Adventists, but they're, you know, they're well known, they're worldwide, and here they really do advocate for veganism. They do advocate for a vegan diet. Only 40% of Adventists become vegan. You don't have to be a vegan to be an Adventist, but 40% is good. And of course, as you know, the Loma Linda products are all Adventist products, and I used to eat them long before I was a vegan, but it was so nice to hear this very kind of prissy. She was very prissy, but she was right on. I thought, this is great. This is great because this is very much more mainstream. And she kept saying the word vegan over and over again in her lecture.
Good.
For an hour she was lecturing, and she comes on every day now. And of course, lots of times I don't get the program when she's on it, but she knew a lot. She's an MD. And an Adventist and a vegan. And I just thought that was good news. And I know I left that message with you, but it really inspired me to hear that.
Thanks,
you know, coming
Lily.
From another, you know, from another point of view that isn't just vegans talking about veganism. They're not compassionate vegans. They're just vegans because of other reasons, the purity of the body and all that. Whatever reason is good enough for me. So I'll get off now, but I'm just wanted to, you know, that woman.
I'm telling
you, I'm very sanguine. My stomach was churning when I heard about that naturopath. And you know, I agree with you. I've known many naturopaths, and I'm telling you, many of them are out to make a name. This is her name now. She's going to tell you, oh, I was a vegan. She was never a vegan. She might have tried a plant-based diet for a while.
Right. And, that's true.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I'll pass with that. Okay. And thanks, Will.
Thank you.
Good being here.
Lily. And thanks, Jennifer. So I think, that's what's going on. And it's unfortunate, but hopefully we can... all in our own way, speak up for the animals and speak up for, you know, another way of seeing this, that the universe wasn't set up that we have to torture and maim and kill innocent beings in order to be healthy. I mean, it's just, I mean, we're not like that. That's not our natural human mind. It's not the way we're built. We don't have talons and claws and this bloodlust comes out that we want to tear apart little squirrels and have the hot blood in our mouth. I mean, it's just totally... we've been hijacked, and it's a tribute really to the ability of the human mind to give up its natural wisdom and compassion in order to fit into the tribe. You know, it's really a tribal kind of thing. Well, I just want to get along and be like everybody else in the tribe, and I'll kind of do whatever. And also learning it from the time we're little kids, from our parents, it's passed on through the generations so much. So hopefully, like Lily was saying, the religions of the world are sometimes the best way because it brings in the ethical dimension. And as far as the Adventists, you know, it's interesting because I've worked with quite a few Adventists over the years and spoken in Adventist churches and so forth. And it was Ellen G. White who wrote quite strongly and tried to really bring what she called vegetarianism into the Seventh-day Adventists. And now Loma Linda, that whole area, it's one of the blue zones. Somebody pointed that out here, and that's really true. They're much healthier. And so they do it because it's biblical. You know, they feel like it's biblical that God in the Garden of Eden wanted us to that way. So and the Seventh-day Adventists are really very literal in their interpretation of the Bible. So it's biblical. And there are also a lot of MDs and a lot of health-conscious people in the Seventh-day Adventist tradition, and so they're much healthier. I mean, they're much healthier. They live longer. They don't have Alzheimer's. They don't have cancer, heart disease, nearly anywhere near the rate of the typical human population of the United States. And but I do want to say that a lot of Seventh-day Adventists, when I talk to them, they say it is also ethical. They care about animals. And I think once you go vegan, even if you do it for health and you do it because it's biblical, with time you begin to start to care about the animals too. That's God's creation. You know, why would I, if I love God, I should love God's creation. And so I think a lot of them do develop that ethical dimension of veganism, which is, I think, makes it a much more solid foundation. Well, it looks like we're about at our time here. Are there any other pressing questions before we close? It's good to see you, Davi, all the way from England. I know it's the middle of the night where you are, so thanks for joining us. And there'll be more people who will be listening to this later, so we send our love to them as well. But thanks, everyone. So I'll just, in closing, encourage everybody to check out the resources. There's lots of fascinating stuff here. That's really interesting. I can start to go through all this stuff. Deforestation in the Amazon has reached a record high. This is really big news. I mean, the attack on the Amazon for animal agriculture is berserk. I mean, they're just really, the whole thing could be collapsing in another few years, which would mean who knows what. I mean, it would be a huge, devastating impact on our entire ecosystems because the Amazon rainforest, once it gets to a certain point, there's not enough trees to create the clouds and the whole thing becomes a desert. That's going to have global impact and besides destroying the habitat for the richest biodiversity there is on the planet. So really, you have to be aware of these things. I put an asterisk next to ones that I think are especially important, and there's a lot of interesting stuff happening all over the world. So check it out. This one here, Dr. Sam Bailey, Dr. Samantha Bailey from New Zealand, she has got some very interesting thing, one here on media, viruses, and personality pushers, it's called. But it's really about the whole foundation of medicine, if it's based on lies, that viruses actually don't even exist. There's no such thing as viruses. There's exosomes, which are cellular debris that's naturally occurring, and there aren't these nefarious little things called viruses. There's a big debate about that, of course, but I think it's important to get informed about these things and to question the official narratives so that we're not manipulated, because as long as they can trick us into thinking that we're surrounded by these deadly, dangerous, invisible little things that can harm us, they can always spook us, right, and scare us and make us run to the nearest doctor to have protection. And the whole thing, it's a big scam, in my opinion. So it's very important, I think, to just get alternative sources of information on this. And the internet is one of the best places. There are books also It's being increasingly suppressed. The censorship is continuing, but we have to just keep doing our best here. So this is a free speech zone right here, our third Thursday. And thanks, everyone, for joining us. So let's close with our prayer that we say together. I know we're going to be getting together on the first Thursday of July and then the third Thursday of July. So look forward to seeing you on the first Thursday of July. Here's please feel free, if you'd like, to unmute your phone or your computer, and we can join together from our hearts to say our blessing that we say every day as part of our circle of compassion, which I think we all know. So we'll say it three times. Here we go. Compassion circles the earth for all beings everywhere. All right, again. Compassion circles the earth for all beings everywhere. One more time with feeling.
Compassion circles the earth for all beings everywhere.
Yay, so it is.
Yay.
Right, everyone, we love you. Thank you so much.
Love you both.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much.
Bye, Will. Bye, Madeline.
Bye, Tim. Everybody. Bye, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.